Today is the 10th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today, just like it is great to be together every day. And since we're here together, let's do what we do. Let's take another step forward in our lives and another step forward in the scriptures. Today, we pick up where we left off, and that happens to be Ezra, the book of Ezra right now. And today, we'll read chapter 10. While Ezra was bowing in prayer in front of the temple, weeping and confessing these sins, a large group of Israelites, men, women, and children, gathered around him, weeping bitterly. Then Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, of the clan of Elam, said to Ezra, "We have broken faith with God by marrying foreign women. But even so, there is still hope for Israel. Now we must make a solemn promise to our God that we will send these women and their children away. We will do what you and the others who honor God's commands advise us to do. We will do what God's law demands. It is your responsibility to act. We are behind you, so go ahead and get it done." So Ezra began by making the leaders of the priests, of the Levites, and of the rest of the people take an oath that they would do what Shechaniah had proposed. Then he went from in front of the temple into the living quarters of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib, and spent the night there grieving over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. He did not eat or drink anything. A message was sent throughout Jerusalem and Judah that all those who had returned from exile were to meet in Jerusalem by order of the leaders of the people. If any failed to come within 3 days, all their property would be confiscated and they would lose their right to be members of the community. Within the 3 days, on the 20th day of the 9th month, all the men living in the territory of Judah and Benjamin came to Jerusalem and assembled in the temple square. It was raining hard, and because of the weather and the importance of the meeting, everyone was trembling. Ezra the priest stood up and spoke to them. He said, "You have been faithless and have brought guilt on Israel by marrying foreign women. Now then, confess your sins to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do what pleases him. Separate yourselves from the foreigners living in our land and get rid of your foreign wives." The people shouted in answer, "We will do whatever you say." But they added, "The crowd is too big and it's raining hard. We can't stand here in the open like this. This isn't something that can be done in 1 or 2 days, because so many of us are involved in this sin. Let our officials stay in Jerusalem and take charge of the matter. Then let anyone who has a foreign wife come at a set time, together with the leaders and the judges of his city. In this way, God's anger over this situation will be turned away." No one was opposed to the plan except Jonathan, son of Asahel, and Jaaziah, son of Tikva, who had the support of Meshulam and of Shabbatai, a Levite. The returned exiles accepted the plan. So Ezra the priest appointed men from among the heads of the clans and recorded their names. On the first day of the 10th month, they began their investigation, and within the next 3 months, they investigated all the cases of men with foreign wives. This is the list of the men who had foreign wives. Clan of Joshua and his brothers, sons of Jehozadak, Maaseiah, Eleazar, Jarib, and Gedaliah. They promised to divorce their wives, and they offered a ram as a sacrifice for their sins. From the clan of Immer, Hanani, and Zebediah. Clan of Harim, Maaseiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jehiel, and Uzziah. Clan of Pashur, Elionai, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nethanel, Jozabad, and Elasa. Jozabad, Shimei, Kiliah, also called Kalita, Petahiah, Judah, and Eleazar. Eliashib, Shalom, Tilem, and Uri. Clan of Parosh, Ramiah, Iziah, Melchijah, Midjamin, Eleazar, Melchijah, and Benaiah. Clan of Elam, Mattaniah, Zechariah, Jehiel, Abdi, Jeremoth, and Elijah. Clan of Zattu, Elioni, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Jeremoth, Zabad, and Azizah. Clan of Bibai, Yehohanan, Hananiah, Zebai, and Atlai. Clan of Bani, Meshulam, Maluk, Adiah, Jashub, Sheol, and Jeremoth. Clan of Peat Moab, Adna, Kilal, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mattaniah, Bezalel, Binui, and Manasseh. Clan of Harim, Eleazar, Ishijah, Melchijah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Baluk, and Shemariah. Clan of Hashum, Mattaniah, Metata, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei. Clan of Bani, Maadai, Amram, Uel, Benaiah, Bediah, Telui, Venaiah, Meremoth, Eliashib, Mattaniah, Mattanai, and Jeasu. Clan of Benui, Shimei, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adiah, Machnadebai, Shishai, Sharai, Azarel, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph. Clan of Nebo, Jael, Mattatiah, Zabad, Zabina, Jedai, Joel, and Benaiah. All these men had foreign wives. They divorced them and sent them and their children away. First Corinthians 6. If any of you have a dispute with another Christian, how dare you go before heathen judges instead of letting God's people settle the matter? Don't you know that God's people will judge the world? Well then, if you are to judge the world, aren't you capable of judging small matters? Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more, then, the things of this life? If such matters come up, are you going to take them to be settled by people who have no standing in the church? Shame on you! Surely there is at least one wise person in your fellowship who can settle a dispute between fellow Christians. Instead, one Christian goes to court against another and lets unbelievers judge the case. The very fact that you have legal disputes among yourselves shows that you have failed completely. Would it not be better for you to be wronged? Would it not be better for you to be robbed? Instead, you yourselves wrong one another and rob one another, even other believers. Surely you know that the wicked will not possess God's kingdom. Do not fool yourselves. People who are immoral or worship idols or are adulterers or homosexual or who steal or are greedy or are drunkards or who slander others or are thieves, none of these will possess God's kingdom. Some of you were like that, but you have been purified from sin. You have been dedicated to God. You have been put right with God by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Someone will say, I am allowed to do anything. Yes, but not everything is good for you. I could say that I am allowed to do anything, but I am not going to let anything make me its slave. Someone else will say, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. Yes, but God will put an end to both. The body is not to be used for sexual immorality, but to serve the Lord. And the Lord provides for the body. God raised the Lord from death, and he will also raise us by his power. You know that your bodies are parts of the body of Christ. Shall I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of the body of a prostitute? Impossible. Or perhaps you don't know that the man who joins his body to a prostitute becomes physically one with her? The scripture says quite plainly, the two will become one body. But he who joins himself to the Lord becomes spiritually one with him. Avoid immorality. Any other sin a man commits does not affect his body, but the man who is guilty of sexual immorality sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, but to God. He bought you for a price. So use your bodies for God's glory. Psalm 31, 9 through 18. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes are tired from so much crying. I am completely worn out. I am exhausted by sorrow, and weeping has shortened my life. I am weak from all my troubles. Even my bones are wasting away. All my enemies, and especially my neighbors, treat me with contempt. Those who know me are afraid of me. When they see me in the street, they run away. Everyone has forgotten me, as though I were dead. I am like something thrown away. I hear many enemies whispering. Terror is all around me. They are making plans against me, plotting to kill me. But my trust is in you, O Lord. You are my God. I am always in your care. Save me from my enemies, from those who persecute me. Look on your servant with kindness. Save me in your constant love. I call to you, Lord. Don't let me be disgraced. May the wicked be disgraced. May they go silently down to the world of the dead. Silence those liars. All the proud and arrogant who speak with contempt about the righteous. Proverbs 21, 3. Do what is right and fair. That pleases the Lord more than bringing him sacrifices. Okay, so as we continue our journey through 1 Corinthians, we're seeing Paul's tone and we're seeing that he's being very direct with his words. And of course, we've already read the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, so we've kind of gotten to know Paul's vocabulary a bit, but we're seeing Paul be really, really direct. And when we read through Paul, it's easy to look at Paul as extraordinarily dogmatic. Some people read him really authoritarian. And maybe he was. I have not yet had the opportunity to personally sit down over coffee with the Apostle Paul. I hope that maybe that day could someday happen. I have questions. But when we read Paul that way, we can easily kind of put up a wall. And that's not what's going on here. Paul is pleading with the people, trying to get them to open their eyes and see a bigger picture that is beyond our senses, a reality that is beyond what we've created. So as we're reading today, Paul is being very direct about Christians taking other Christians to court. He has a whole list of condemned behaviors, and we have to step back and go, is the point here, is what he's trying to do, is he trying to shame? Is he trying to heap condemnation upon them? Because that would be a bit counterintuitive, since his whole message is about how condemnation has been removed from us. So So is he trying to do the very thing that he's saying we're free from? Not likely. In Paul's worldview, Jesus changed humanity. And we could be like, good, great, that's what I believe too. Jesus changed everything. And of course he did, but hold on, step back. Jesus changed humanity and how humanity has to live. What Paul is unpacking is that through Jesus, a new humanity was made, was created, and Jesus was the firstborn of this restored humanity. We read of that when we read through Paul's letter to the Romans. We'll read of it again when we get to the letter to the Colossians. This was all necessary because of rebellion and deception and sin creating an alternate reality different from the one we were made to live in. A breach, a separation between humanity and God was carved. And we have been reaping the repercussions of that all along. It's not hard to look in our lives and see the repercussions of sin. It's not hard to look around this world and see the division and the repercussions. But God rescued humanity from this breach. And Jesus did away with the thing that was separating us. He took our sin to the cross, right? Like, this is Christianity 101. He took our sins upon himself and removed them from the world and died. And then God resurrected him, the firstborn of a new category of people. The way the Bible says it is the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, he's the first one and many are to follow. And we are one of those. So when we now talk about freedom as human beings, we're usually talking about our ability to make choices to do whatever we want, whenever we want, with whoever we want, no matter how that plays out. Because we're free from sin. And Paul's trying to say, basically, being free from sin does not mean that you do not have the choice to participate in the very thing that you're free from. For Paul, that's not freedom. That's actually flirting with bondage and slavery. They're just disguised, and you won't know it until you are enslaved. Anything that will lead you into sin will enslave you. Which is why Paul is saying, yeah, you can, yes, any of you, you can do whatever you want. But that doesn't mean that your choices are good ones and that what you do is good for you. And Paul goes on to say, like, I agree. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. But I'm not going to do anything that makes me its slave. That's not freedom. Freedom from sin through Jesus our Lord does not mean we have license to do what we absolutely know is wrong. We can make that choice. We have the freedom to do it. We can do it, but the repercussions of the sin will descend upon us. And Paul's saying, why would you use your freedom to become a slave? Slavery isn't freedom, but you can use your freedom to enslave yourself. And so let's give it some thought today. What has enslaved us currently, in the past, or something that's forming, that we're getting pulled into, that has the chance to put shackles upon us? Let's invite the Holy Spirit and let's scan our lives, look out upon the vistas of our lives and the relationships and the things that are going on. What have we become entangled with that we are actually free from? Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. It'll be a different story for each one of us because we all have different stories that we are telling. And if we're honest, life is flying at us pretty fast. And there's so much sensory overload that it's really hard for us to contemplate these things. to see them as they're forming in our lives. We see them when they're producing destruction or significant pain. We see then. But your Holy Spirit can lead us into all truth. And so maybe we don't have to figure all this out. Why we do what we do. Why we walk into things that we know we shouldn't walk into. What we do know is, in the confusion of it all, you are there. If we are listening, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so give us eyes to see and ears to hear where you are leading. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base. It's the website. It's where you find out what's happening. So check that out. And if you haven't yet, download the Daily Audio Bible app from the app store that works with your device. That's free, and that puts everything real convenient and allows you to kind of track your progress and all kinds of things. So check that out. And while you're checking out things, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources in the shop in a bunch of different categories. Whether you want to go deeper with things to read or go deeper with visuals and see the places where the Bible happened, or just look at the pictures, or wear things, or write with things in journal, or just all kinds of stuff. Check it out, the Daily Audio Bible Shop, either in the app or on the website. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial a number of numbers, depending on where you are. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number. In the UK or Europe, 442036088078 is the number. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Dad family. This is Kenny from Louisiana. I'm calling in today to ask for prayers. We ended up having to buy a house before we sold our old house. And now with the interest rates being increased, our house is kind of just sitting. We did this. We stepped out in faith because we felt leading from God that this is what we want to do, and we have no doubt that this is God's plan for us, is to move to a new location. I just ask for prayers that God sends a buyer as soon as possible. Thank you very much for your prayers. God bless you.
Good morning, Babylonians. It is Dr. John in Jordan, New York. I'm out for a lovely walk on the farm with my dogs. And this is a little bit late in terms of a praise report that I wanted to call in. And that's about getting our second cutting hay in. So hay is always weather dependent. And we cut the hay on Monday with a chance of rain, and it poured inches of rain on that poor hay. It's like, there's no way, because it soaks the ground, and then the moisture comes up into the hay, and it just can't dry. Well, we tedded it, which is the little spinny things which spread the hay out. And on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday morning, I tedded it again, and it was just so damp. I'm like, there's no way this is going to be ready to bale this afternoon. So our farmer, Ricky, who is the farmer's wife's husband, came and tedded it, and he said, maybe 30% chance of getting the hay in, and then God. And the sun came out, the wind came up, temperatures came up into the upper middle 80s, and poof, the hay dried. And we got in 380 bales of beautiful hay, second cutting hay. So that was just fantastic. And all praise and glory to God for getting that into the barn. That's one of the huge anxieties my wife has every year, is getting hay. So thank you, God. Thank you for this land. Please help us to be good stewards of it. And love you guys. Take care. Dr. John from Jordan signing off.
Hey, Dab fam. This is Preston in the Bay Area. Just want to give a shout out of thanks to Brian and his family for what they do, and just how grateful I am, and actually my wife and our family. We're just very grateful for the daily audio Bible. I have a prayer request. I have a job offer in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in the same industry that I work, and I'm strongly thinking of taking it. The only thing is the the pay is about 40% less than what I'm making here, and you know, still it's decent, but I look at the cost of living there, and it's much less than here, of course, in San Francisco Bay Area, but it's not that much cheaper. You would think it would be, but cost of housing is cost of housing. I would just ask your prayers if it be God's plan for us to move there in January, which is when the contract would start. I just ask that you guys would pray that he would help us find a good housing situation for the four of us. We are a family of four, and we're praying to hopefully rent a house, or if we have to, rent an apartment in a good area. Anyways, I appreciate your prayers, and I'm very grateful. Thank you very much.
Hi, DAB family. My name is Louisa Martin, and I have a prayer request that you pray for deliverance from depression. I recently lost a friend of mine from the recovery community, as well as my church. And the loss has really been affecting me and making me extremely depressed, to the point of being suicidal even. So I just want to ask for prayers for deliverance. I know that God can do anything, and I echo the verse in the Bible where it says, I believe, help my unbelief. I just really could use some prayers. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day. Bye.